The Athletic.
Reds, James Pearce here at Anfield, where the full-time whistle has just gone. It finished Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1. Coming up, we'll bring you all the post-match reaction from Anfield. We'll hear the best bits from Jurgen Klopp's press conference, and my colleague Andy Jones will drop in to give us his take on what was a desperate afternoon in the context of Liverpool's season.
Mitchell, good position here, Eze! Crystal Palace lead at Anfield.
So it's all over here at Anfield, and an absolute hammer blow to Liverpool's Premier League title hopes. Beaten by Crystal Palace. Eze's first half goal proving enough to secure the points for the Londoners, and it also completes an absolutely wretched week for Jurgen Klopp's side, following on from that heavy defeat to Atalanta in the Europa League quarterfinals on Thursday night. It's the first time Liverpool have suffered back-to-back home defeats in front of supporters since January 2017, and what a time for them to completely lose their way with so much on the line. Season over? It certainly feels like it at the moment. It's going to take some transformation for them to salvage something from here. Of course, you know, there is still that tiny, tiny glimmer of hope heading into the second leg against Atalanta in Italy on Thursday, but This one cuts deep, because I think off the back of Thursday night, everyone thought, well, it's all about the league now. You've got to win the last seven, crank up the pressure on Arsenal and City, but it's just simply not happened. Klopp talked about he was, you know, almost, you know, guaranteeing a reaction to Thursday night, but we didn't get one. That's the simple reality. What we got served up was more of the same, more shoddy finishing, more gaping holes in midfield for opponents to exploit, and more horrendously wasteful finishing. Liverpool's expected goals total today was 2.87. That's their most on record in a Premier League match in which they failed to score. And that just rams it home. I think there's lots of reasons that you can point to for why things have completely gone off the track in the last few weeks, and fatigue, both mental and physical, is one of them. I think, you know, when you have to look at Alexis McAllister and Taro Endo today, to see two players who look like they'd probably played too much football in recent months. You've got other players lacking rhythm, having only recently come back from injury themselves. But the single biggest reason is that alarming lack of composure in the final third. Whether it's pressure, you know, it's players just losing their nerve. It's difficult to really pinpoint it, isn't it? But it's there is no excusing some of those opportunities that went begging today. And yeah, of course, Liverpool have got other issues as well, not least, you know, how slow they are out the blocks. But they should have been able to repair that damage today. They had more than enough opportunities. What was it? 70% possession, 21 shots, 6 on target. It was, you know, some absolutely glorious opportunities was spurned, and you only had to look at the body language at the final whistle to see that. You know, I think those players know that probably is it in terms of the Premier League title. And it was a day that had started with such promise. The sun was shining. There was the positivity generated by the sight of Alisson Becker in the starting lineup after 14 games out with a hamstring injury. There were recalls for Bradley and Diaz, Robertson and Salah all coming back into the team, but it didn't make a blind bit of difference. That was the frustration. You know, another early goal conceded, you know, Mitchell pulling the ball back for Eze to score from 7 yards out, unmarked. Liverpool so easy to play through, runners not tracked, lack of organisation, lack of communication. You know, we've heard it all before, haven't we? That's the frustration of it. Liverpool have conceded the opening goal in 4 of their last 5 league games here at Anfield. And that's now 9 home league games without a clean sheet. You have to go back to before Christmas, when Man United came here for the last clean sheet in the Premier League. And Liverpool haven't gone 9 league games without a home clean sheet here since 1996. So that just, you know, that just shows where they're at the minute in terms of leaking too many soft goals. And it's just too easy to get at them. And it could have got even worse. Let's not forget Andy Robertson, who I thought was one of the few that really shone today, produced a heroic goal line of clearance to ensure that Mateta wasn't allowed to make it 2-0. That all came from a Van Dijk slip that had left Mateta through on goal. Robertson getting back brilliantly to hook it off the line. And then, you know, Liverpool did then start to click in terms of creating chances. Endo hitting the underside of the bar. You had Diaz's volley brilliantly kept out by Henderson in the Palace goal. Canati heading over from a corner. At that point, you thought, well, they seem to be generating a bit of momentum, but then they just lost their way again. You know, Szoboszlai came on for Endo, but that didn't really help them. Szoboszlai is just as, you know, completely not been unable to get anywhere near to the levels he hit before Christmas. Then there was the sad sight of Conor Bradley hobbling off. It'd be a surprise if we saw him again this season. Amid fears he may have damaged ankle ligaments, that meant that Trent Alexander-Arnold made his comeback. And then, you know, Darwin Nunes, you know, again looked absolutely destined to equalise, yet he fires straight at Henderson. And yes, you'd say it's a great save, but, you know, a foot either side of the goalie and he's got no chance. And again, it's that lack of composure from Nunes which has cost Liverpool far too often this season. And then you add Szoboszlai again, you know, the lack of belief in his game and lack of conviction, getting a finish horribly wrong from the edge of the box. And then we saw Jota and Gakpo introduced as Klopp desperately tried to find some inspiration from somewhere. And, you know, you just expected the net to bulge when Szoboszlai squared for Jota, yet somehow Klein made a last-ditch block. You know, you thought to yourself, this just isn't going to be Liverpool's day. And I think what probably cemented that idea in the thoughts of all supporters was when Curtis Jones ran through on goal, had so much time and space to pick his spot, and he sticks it wide, and he pulled his shirt over his face to hide his blushes. And, you know, the groans, the collective groans that just went all around Anfield. And he went off soon after, Jones replaced by Harvey Elliott, but it just, you know, despite all the huffing and puffing, Liverpool just completely ran out of ideas. You know, Salah denied in stoppage time, and it's shaping up to really a really underwhelming and sad end to the Klopp era. That's the disappointment. You know, when you think, you know, rewind a month and we were talking about a possible quadruple for Klopp to go off into the sunset with, yet now, you know, it looks like they won't have anything but the Carabao Cup to show for it in a season which promised so much, is now in you know, seriously looking like it'll end with a whimper. And Klopp's got a big job on his hands now, because there's a lot of players in that dressing room at the minute who are lacking belief, that seem to be lacking energy, and somehow he needs to breathe some belief and get some legs back into that team and find something to get them clicking again, because you really don't want things to really unravel. They have to keep fighting. Yeah, yes, it's a massive uphill battle now, both in Italy on Thursday night and in the remaining six Premier League games, but they have to try and find something from somewhere. Otherwise, yeah, it will be a sad end to what's been such a memorable era.
This is Walk On, your dedicated Liverpool podcast from The Athletic.
So first up, in his press conference, Jurgen Klopp was asked whether he felt his team had lacked conviction in recent weeks with the downturn in results that has hurt their prospects of securing further silverware.
I think the problem is a little bit when that I'm not 100% sure that the general how we dealt with the United games that were particularly helped. I mean, we lost the game in the cup and it was like a catastrophe because we were that good and lost it anyway. Then we draw there, were really good for a long spell, and just drew it, and we have conceded a little bit. That's now not the reason for today, just it's a few weeks back anyway. But you start to ask about a few weeks. So the problems we had in the United games were completely different to the things we had today. Couple of, yes, the goals we concede are too easy. That's probably a general thing, that's true. I said what I said about the game today, so we all players included, me included, obviously we expected a reaction, and we saw a reaction that we lost in that game more than only the game a little bit, so it didn't help. You could just see, and on top of that, the game before the United, where we lost points. So we just were always too wide. And the goal we concede is now the goal that ends up with as a completely free in the box. That cannot happen. So, but we had other moments where they didn't end up in front of our goal, where we were just not together. So you cannot, let me say like that, if you press with 80%, you better don't. Because that makes no sense then, because we had here and there, I think Curtis was really going for it, following through, stuff like that. Besides that, first line, a bit too far away from each other, no real impulse. Maka and Vataro, maybe normal, couldn't really, didn't really follow. And the last line was too deep as well, so that's where Crystal Palace had too much possession. In these moments, we had to run in the wrong direction. We're 1-0 down and had to constantly, and obviously that doesn't feel great. We cannot gain momentum in these moments. So half-time, 1-0 down, fine. That's how it is. And obviously the second half is a really good home game. It's a really good game. They didn't have, I'm not sure they had chances really, but we had a lot. The big ones, the four, where everybody would think, yeah, that should be a goal, and other moments where we were nearly there. So that we had momentum, that we were in the game, that we could put them under pressure. And that's now how it is. So we showed the right direction in the game, so we didn't give in or whatever and thought, okay, that's another day off or whatever. Not at all. The boys really tried hard. But in the end, it was not enough. We have to admit that as well. Oh, and the conviction I talked about was really, that was, no, we were really too, our formation was never there for real causing Palace problems. The diagonal balls they play, you can only defend by putting the guy on the ball under pressure. There's no other chance to do that. When we didn't do that, that means they could play them and the whole formation have to run constantly making runs. You do them to defend them, but it's not for winning the ball, it's just for defending them, and that's a big difference.
And next up, Jurgen Klopp was asked what this demoralising defeat for Liverpool means in the overall context of the Premier League title race. Is this really the end of Liverpool's hopes?
No, it's easy. I understand it 100%. It's, of course, you have to ask this question, but it doesn't mean for the title race and stuff like this. I'm not dumb. I know that. And the answer is pretty easy. If we play like in the first half, why should we win the league? If we play like in the second half, if we can win football games. So if we can win football games, then we will see how many we can win, and then we will see what we have to be around when the other guys now struggle, if they struggle. So that's how it is. And for us, obviously, we have to win football games anyway. Now a string of four away games, if I'm right. So that would have been tough anyway. It will be tough, but we have to, and we know that. It's obviously, that's clear, that we have to deal with that now, and that's the easy thing. There's nothing else really to say. The criticism in these moments is completely fine and absolutely right. It's all about how we deal with it. In the first half, we didn't deal particularly well with the situation, but second half, we pulled ourselves together and should have won the game, but we didn't do. I saw the result, and that's it.
Well, the conversation then turned on to whether Jurgen Klopp felt that fatigue was a factor. It certainly looked like both kind of mentally and physically Liverpool looked a bit spent out there today when you think about how poor the decision-making was and the, you know, I think it ties in as well with the lack of conviction when you're in decent areas. Where Liverpool were just doing things on instinct and things were coming off earlier on in the season. Now it just feels like so many players are doubting themselves, and some of them also look like they just don't have the energy left in their legs to really impose themselves on opponents.
I see the same game like you do. Did Vataro and Maka play now a little bit too much in the last few weeks? Maybe. They were the two most used, especially Maka. The other guys came back from injury. Now, I would say Kurt today really good. Dom came back from injury, stuff like this, kind of a rhythm. I think for the situation Trent is in, that was really good, but hey, I don't think he could now play 120 minutes, let me say like that. Robbo came back from injury, all these kind of things. So a couple of players had to play a lot, and a couple of players had always interrupted. That's a bit the situation. But It's actually not too interesting for us if we find now for that the real answer. We have just to make sure that we don't think about where we are coming from, whether injured or not, and we just have to make sure we find a way to beat the specific opponent in front of us. And for that, it's always like this for winning. You always find, as a manager, you find a lot of explanations. This was great, this was great. When you lose, it's not as easy to find these things, and it might be obvious, but it's not about now putting the finger into that or that or that. As it, you always, the solution is always being really together on the pitch for us. Where we are, we got because we were against the ball an absolute machine, and that's what we have to be. In that moment, we have the rhythm, we have the momentum in the game. It's difficult for the opponent. They don't feel great. We feel much better, and then these boys can really play football. Today they showed that in a really difficult situation that they can do that, and that was good. But it doesn't feel great anyway now because we lost the game, and we planned this day completely differently. But here we are, and now, how is that? We have to deal with that.
And finally, Jurgen Klopp was asked about Conor Bradley and whether he had any idea yet on the extent of that injury. Of course, there was the worrying sight of the Northern Ireland international limping off early in the second half.
Conor overstretched his foot slightly. First moment, you know, but Conor felt what didn't look great. Now I heard a little bit like it settled quite quickly, but I don't know. I like now, what is the ligament damaged or not? I don't know. So we will get these informations tomorrow or Tuesday. It was very painful for him, so that's not cool.
For the latest subscription offers, head to theathletic.com/LiverpoolPod.
All right, Reds, Andy here, just back from Anfield. It was a pretty quiet journey home and a pretty quiet hush that surrounded the ground after the match walking out. You know, usually it's a lot of conversations, a lot of laughter, especially in recent times when Liverpool have been so good and so dominant at Anfield. But you know, you could almost hear every conversation as I waited for family and friends, and it sums up the mood. It sums up how this result feels, how the last two games have derailed what looked for a time like it could be an incredible end to the season and Jurgen Klopp's reign. And now, you know, Liverpool have got to go to Atalanta in midweek and somehow find a way through, because you knew that, you know, any slip up in the Premier League title race was going to be massive. And to lose what on paper was probably their easiest game remaining just sort of makes it hurt even more, really. And I think, you know, the reaction was expected after Thursday, and I think generally from an atmosphere point of view it was pretty good. I think the fans stuck with the team largely throughout the game and even into the latter stages, and there was the belief that you could get one, and if you got one maybe that would have brought a second. And but I think the problem Liverpool have got is that they essentially continue to start games 1-0 down, and this was a problem which began the back end of that quadruple attempt in 2021-22, became an even bigger problem last season, and has crept back in. You know, that's no clean sheets in nine, and you know, Liverpool just don't make it difficult enough for the opposition to score goals, and it, you know, it could have turned. You know, the fans could have really got frustrated, and of course the element of frustration was there, and the anger grew as time ticked on, and there was no goal, there was no equaliser, there was no possibility of winning the game. And you know, then it began to turn towards the referee and the time wasting of Dean Henderson's 2 minute long goal kicks and stuff like that. But you know, that's by the by, that's the usual. It feels like it's over. It's obviously not, and there may be some more twists and turns in the title race, but problem is that it's difficult at the moment given Liverpool's last three results to see how one of those twists isn't Liverpool dropping more points, and you know, they've now got to be perfect and go back to Old Trafford last week when everything was in their own hands. They're now the third place team, open on two teams slipping up. So, you know, you've gone from that position of strength to the worst, the weakest position you could be in. And you've got players who are still finding form, still finding fitness. Some players who look, you know, out of form. I think Endo is one, it's certainly not to blame, you know, everything on him. And I think you've got to look at the forwards as well, and the lack of composure, the lack of you know, creativity at times, and just the lack of conviction in front of goal. I think I read it was 67 shots in the last three games and only two goals, and you know, that was a penalty and a set piece. So, you know, the attacking five that Liverpool have had, you know, they've got them all now, and you know, Joss has only just come back, but their form and finishing has deserted them at the worst possible time, and potentially only two games left of Jürgen Klopp and Anfield. You know, they want to get back to winning ways for those, and I'm sure the, you know, the crowd and the atmosphere will be up for both of them. But unfortunately, Liverpool are in a position now where it could be a season which ends in a bit of a whimper. Now, you have to obviously take the step back and understand that if you'd offered Liverpool Champions League and a League Cup at the start of the season, given what had happened, you know, I think you would certainly have considered taking it. But given the position to put themselves in, you know, it does feel like you know, it feels a lot worse because they put themselves in position to be challengers. And it's, as you say, it's certainly not over. You know, stranger things have happened, but you know, this was a game today that Liverpool just had to win, and had to win comfortably, and just have that feeling of winning a game comfortably, which they haven't had for a while. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And you know, you can rue the missed chances, you can rue the poor starts. They're becoming themes, and Liverpool might not have enough time to fix them. And even if they do, now with the way the table lies, it might not matter anyway.
So that's it for me here at Anfield. For plenty more match reaction and analysis, check out The Athletic. I'll be back with Tony and the rest of the team for Wednesday's Walk On podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I'll catch you again then.
The Athletic.